You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion, analysis of every Premier League match week, the Champions League, and a little bit of Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are the topics for today's show. Pep Guardiola reaching the Champions League semis for the first time with Manchester City. The thriller between PSG and Bayern that saw the holders eliminated. Liverpool unable to pull off the needed comeback against Real Madrid at Anfield. Chelsea advancing despite their loss to Porto. And Arsenal Man United cruising to the Europa League semi-final. That's what we've got coming up in today's show.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, Robbie Earle, let's start with a game much anticipated. Borussia Dortmund 1, Manchester City 2. Man City advanced 4-2 on aggregate. Wasn't quite as simple as that aggregate scoreline suggests. I took a close look at this game, Rob, and we'll get into some details, but in general, I just thought Man City looked like Man City. I remember we did the show, Rob, a week ago, and I thought Man City looked edgy and nervous and different, and Pep afterwards said that he'll figure that out. You know, I'll figure out we've got to be a bit more slick and pass the ball better. And City did go behind to that Jude Bellingham goal, like in the first 15 minutes. But after that, it was like watching a Premier League game where City have the ball and Dortmund, of course, with that goal, were going through the tie with away goals. And City just played their football, found a way through, got the goals, got the penalty. Phil Foden scores another winning goal. So that's 2-1 and winning goals in both of the ties. And City just, Rob, looked normalised. It did tweak the system a little bit. I watched closely for that. Kevin De Bruyne, Rob, played in a false line position in a 4-3-3. Now, this was different to the first leg. It was more like the 4-4-2 with Bernardo and De Bruyne coming into midfield. Yeah. And actually, I did notice after Dortmund scored, they kind of went back to that. So it was a different start-up. They conceded the goal, and then Bernardo Silva went up with De Bruyne, and they did their thing, and so he kind of said he was going to find a way, and it was a little bit better. But he did go back to the same way that they got the result, Rob, and City, you know, deserved to go through the better side.
It was interesting because it was a day when games were going on both sides. I was keeping an eye on the Liverpool game, and it came in. Jude Bellingham scored. It was 1-0 up, and I'm thinking, woo, you know, after what we'd spoke about, after you said that bit of nervousness, after the quarterfinals being a bit of a hoodoo for Pep and Man City, I was thinking, ooh, this is really on now. This is a little challenge for that quadruple for getting through. But I saw a highlight package in the evening. And then, as you say, you saw the football, you saw the creative last attacking third was better. They get the penalty that comes off the arm onto the head of John, but I don't think there was much doubt there. And then Phil Foden comes up with a bit of magic that, having looked at it, the keeper should save. But listen, Foden takes a shot, he hits it clean, and that's what happens. And it's quite interesting, Rob. I wanted to talk about Jude Bellingham, just the goal and his standing in the game seems to keep growing. But Phil Foden, let's go back to him. I mean, are we at the stage now where he's got to start becoming a first-team regular, Rob? Not the dipping out, the dipping in, and Pep saying all these great things about him training and he's the English guy. Is it two massive goals in two big moments? Are we getting to the stage where he should be in the first 11 now?
Well, he is, Rob, isn't he? I think we're already at that point. I know what you mean. Like, you see Raheem Sterling. Sterling was on the bench and he came into the game later on. And this is a massive game. Foden has edged out Raheem Sterling for that left forward position. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's got a problem with it. I think a lot of people realise what a really good player Raheem Sterling is. But he hasn't quite been at it the same way this season. Phil Foden has developed. He's got in. And I think what surprised me is the goal tally. The eye for goal. I don't know. Maybe that's always been in his makeup, Rob. But I was thinking more Phil Foden was going to be your David Silva footballer, playmaker, assist maker. Not so really great around the box and shooting and scoring goals and important goals. He is now. He is absolutely an important part of the first 11. Really, really is. And full credit to him. I mean, he's...
He's got that nice hunger for goals, hasn't he? That he's not just a good footballer. And I remember when, you know, Jack Grealish came up and people said about his numbers. We look at James Maddison, you know, technical footballer, but does he produce numbers? With Foden, I always get the sense there's a hunger with him for goals. He wants to finish. He's not the David Silva who takes great pride in just assisting. I think he likes the goals as well.
Mm. Yeah, he really does. And that elevates him then into a very important part of the team. I mean, I think we've seen over recent seasons the importance of wide scoring players. We'll go on to talk about Liverpool, but if those two guys, and we know that one guy in Salah's scoring, but Sadio Mane is not scoring and a striker that doesn't score, you know, the wide goals are really important. Another part of his game, Rob, that I think we've talked about before, if you watch him now, there's a bit of a... he's stronger than you think, actually. And it looks like he quite enjoys the physical side of it now, Rob. There's a few times where he's a little bit shoulder to shoulder. And he's kind of, I mean, he's not a big guy, but he's getting stronger. And he's kind of wiry. And I just thought, wow, that's good. That's another kind of development that Phil Foden now can hold his own. He's a bit more aggressive. Maybe, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, we see, often uses his weight and his strength in tackles. And I just thought I saw a side of that from Phil Foden as well, Rob. And, no, I mean, a winning goal again. I'll tell you what was nice, Rob. And I know we focused on different games a little bit, but Phil Foden scored that goal.
Yeah.
He looks delighted, as you'd expect. He's not always one, actually, is he? He's not always one that he was annoyed because he didn't score and he didn't celebrate. He runs over to Pep, and there was a really nice moment. I don't know whether you saw this, Rob.
There was a shot on Twitter.
He'd grab an older Pep. Pep's all over him. It's like all the other players around. It was kind of a nice moment where City, like, the pressure's always on to get past this stage for Pep at this football club. Quarterfinals has been the nightmare that they've gone out to. They're into the semi-finals. There certainly was an amount of relief to it. And the biggest thing, I'll say it again, is that City look like City. And if City look like City and play like City, I still, you know, we'll talk about their semi-final game with PSG, but I still think they're favourites for this competition. Just on a couple of things, Rob, I don't want to forget. Jude Bellingham, you talked about him. He's 17 years of age. Not only scores a really classy goal, clears one off the line. He's got a bit of nastiness about him. He got into the face of a couple of players. And the other thing, Rob, is in terms of my notes here that I wanted to just... The handball. And, God, I think when we see it and he's stretched and he's with his head. There's still been a lot of talk online. And I understand why there's a lot of talk, Rob, because the written handball law is insanely complicated. Like, in this case, But apart from those, then this kind of works. Yeah. It really is complicated. You know, sometimes basically the upshot, it still comes down to interpretation.
It's almost an interpretation thing rather than the rule, isn't it? Because some people say if it comes off the head or your arm onto the arm, it's not a penalty kick. I saw somebody put that out there.
Well, in the rules, you can read that little piece and it says that. But the next little piece said,
except for that.
I feel like the making the body naturally bigger actually overrules
everything. Yeah, I think the position of his arm overrules that he brushed his head. And his arm's in that position.
Also, his arm, Rob, when you look down, is actually above his shoulder, even though he's in this weird tilted down position, which again would be handball. It really is like it, and I've been doing a little bit of research earlier this morning. And they're gonna try, and all the Colleen and everybody else has kind of said we need to shorten up the handball situation because it's not fair on fans and everybody's watching it. You're not really sure. I mean, it's Man City are through, my friend.
That said, City through. I think only the second time in history to the semi-finals. Never have we got to the finals. A couple of stats I read that I thought were interesting. The only unbeaten team in the competition, scored 21 goals, conceded 3, kept 7 clean sheets, won 9, drew 1, lost none to this point. It's opening up for them, Rob. It's opening up for them. It kind of feels to me like it's opening up.
Well, we're going to go on next, Rob, to talk about the PSG buy-in game. I guess... Yeah. At the end of that, let's think about how that match might finish up. And that's really, I mean, like, you know, that in terms of the City game, that pretty much is it, really, in terms of much better for Manchester City.
Yeah.
Through tricky kind of game against Borussia Dortmund. I think we know who the big time players are now for City. Riyad Mahrez, Kevin De Bruyne, and Phil Foden are doing the business back there. It is Diaz and Stones is going to be the centre forward. Because you kind of get, you know, I think the only one was Cancelo. Zinchenko played at left back. Cancelo probably will going forward.
Yeah.
But no, they are through, my friend. They are through.
So let's go to Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain, because this one was very much in the balance. 3-2 aggregate from the first game. Bayern get the goal. Choupo-Moting couldn't score a stroke on a Tuesday night. Scores in the Champions League on a Tuesday night against Paris Saint-Germain. But all of a sudden brings Bayern back in. And I think at that stage with the goal, we're probably thinking Bayern power on and probably find a way to get it done. But wasn't the case. Paris Saint-Germain hang on to a 1-0 defeat. The away goals, the 3 away goals that they scored were so important. On the day. And Pochettino, in his first season in charge, leads him towards another semi-final. A semi-final, as we say, against Manchester City. But credit to him. Not been as brilliant in the league probably as he would have liked, but I'm sure if he can get to that final and land that cup, that's exactly what that ownership group's been all about. A little bit like City in many ways, aren't they? The two clubs in the way they put money in, the way that they're desperate to land that big trophy and take the next stage in their sort of global brands that they want.
Yeah, and they saw some emotion afterwards from Neymar. Yeah. And, you know, again, the Neymar and Kylian Mbappe combination in terms of their counter-attacking is everything, really. Yeah. That's what this team is. And Bayern Munich, you know, I remember saying again last week that I thought it was going to be really hard for them to get through because I'd still fancy PSG to score. They didn't score, but they should have scored, Rob. The amount of opportunities. Neymar hit the bar. Yeah. I remember going through hitting the post. I mean, him and Mbappe had so many opportunities to score on a counter-attack. They should have made it count a lot more than that. I mean, Bayern just aren't the same. I mean, they're not as strong this season. There's players that aren't there. Robert Lewandowski is the number 9 in the world, really. Yeah. There's upcoming players coming through, and Dortmund's Erling Haaland. Again, there's a few others, but he was badly missed. Choupo-Moting scored, Rob, which is great. He did well to head the ball in. Late on, you've got Javi Martinez going on to replace Choupo-Moting as a striker.
Yeah.
Javi Martinez. So, like, who that's how desperate they were for a striker that could do something. Leroy Sané had moments, looked sharp as anything, didn't produce that final piece.
Fought on his right foot, then he had a good one when he come inside, right foot, yeah. And then...
Yeah, so Bayern possessed and they pushed, but no real incisive passing from them, Rob. They're lacking that. Thomas Muller was a little quieter in this game. The one note I did, I'm looking down at Lucas Hernandez, Rob, as a centre-back. I think he's normally a left-back. Played centre-back, I thought was brilliant. I mean, fantastic performance from him. And he was probably, he was the reason why PSG didn't score more on a counter-attack from Mbappe when he's going through. Lucas Hernandez was the last guy back. I just thought he was absolutely fantastic. But the champions are out. The champions are out. And it goes to PSG's game plan of, they're pretty good in midfield. They're pretty good defensively at the back, but they are special on the counter-attack. And that's going to be a fascinating matchup in the semi-final. You're going to get your old classic possession tiki-taka of Pep and Man City against the deadly, they weren't deadly the other night, to be fair, but incredibly dangerous front pairing of Neymar, who some people are saying had his best PSG game, Rob, in the Champions League this midweek. And the way that he played, hit the post, he was creative.
Does it show you back a little bit to the Spurs, Man City, and the Pochettino Spurs, in that with Son and Kane, he had those two who could counter and be devastating. With the Spurs team that we're never going to have as much possession, and that might put a little bit of, say, confidence in Pochi's camp, but also know how to handle them over two games. Because in some ways, Mbappe and Neymar are every bit as good as Kane. Yeah, as Kane and Son.
Yeah, they're better. They're better. Level. I think that the creativity of Neymar, particularly in this game, and I understand that he doesn't always turn up in games where you want him to. There's no question he wants it badly. The tears afterwards, it tells you that. Kylian Mbappe is the star, Rob.
Yeah, he's the worry, isn't he? He's the worry. He can have 10 special moments that change the tie.
And in some ways, Rob, in his own way, he's unstoppable, really, because his pace and his skills at pace are just a joy. Of all the young strikers, and I get the Erling Haaland thing, and I've watched him play two legs in the last game, and there's a couple of moments that were really good. I know how fast he is, lightning quick striker. I know how big he is. Yeah, he's powerful. I love watching Mbappe play. And that's going to be the thing for Man City, Rob. That's going to be, in moving this forward to the semi-final, that's going to be the thing. And how City, we know they've improved on the counter-attack and stopping it, and the defenders and Stones and Ruben Dias. He's the danger man.
I'm interested with that high line as well, because I remember when I was on one of my first coaching badges and talking to John Peacock, I think it was, who was heading up the FA coaching. And we were chatting one time, and he said, the one thing you really can't defend well is lightning pace. If somebody's clever with lightning pace, it's the most difficult thing to defend. And you've got to get your position right. You've got to affect the ball coming in. You've got to stop the service. You've got to be in a position where you can try and see the man and the ball. And with Mbappe's movement and Neymar's ability to maybe at times draw people to the ball and almost, change the way they attack, just means that City can win the game, but they've got to be good over 290 minutes, and they've almost got to be faultless with the defending. They can't afford one of those sloppy nights.
It's so funny, Rob, because first of all, Mbappe playing as a number nine, the central guy, is a little different, because when Cavani was there, he came from the left-hand side and brilliant at doing that. But the central position has him involved in every counter-attack. So that's absolutely right. It's fascinating, Rob, because you say about Man City, but if they change their style and their philosophy to protect themselves too much against Mbappe, their game will suffer. They have to take the risks. They want to put PSG in that old stranglehold or in the straitjacket where they can't get out of their own half and restrict the counter-attacking. And to do that, they've got to be brave. They've got to pass the ball. Got to get players forward. If they try and sit off and play a different game, because of Mbappe and Neymar, it might not go so well. So it's that risk and reward.
Those spaces down the sides as well are going to be interesting, aren't they? If Walker and Cancelo comes in, those spaces down, you know, getting caught one-on-one with Mbappe down either side, either flank, is an issue.
I suppose Kyle Walker, Rob, is going to help, isn't he? If Cancelo plays at left back and he goes in the midfield, Walker will stay back.
Can stay there,
three defensive man back line with him, and his pace might help. Well, will help against Mbappe,
Do you see in any way that that City bring in a number nine, a Jesus and Aguero? Or do you think that the false nine is done, that they get possession, get those numbers, get rotations from midfield?
I don't think so. I think he's showed his hands now. I think he likes what he likes. This was better performance when Bernardo Silva kind of joins Kevin De Bruyne. I think he just wants that. He wants reliable players on the ball, Rob. There's a sense of Aguero, and a little bit less so, but also with Gabriel Jesus, it's not quite safe possession. And if any players are going to give the ball away or get caught on it or get dispossessed, that through ball to Mbappe is going to be on. So I'd be amazed if they play. I think it would be absolutely the same team with Cancelo in it. And it just goes back to, you know, whoever does their thing better on the day. I still think, and I've watched, again, I watched the PSG ties, I watched the Man City ties. If City is City, I still think that football, Rob, and there isn't particularly anything amazing about PSG's back line. That might be it. If City's football can find a way through, if PSG defend amazingly well, City have got a problem. I would fancy those midfield players of Man City to find a way through PSG more than the counter-attacking, but it's going to be a fascinating game. And that's what's great about this competition, these different teams and different philosophies and different managers. But I would edge Man City would make the final in this tie. What's your gut telling you?
I think there's a sense that people would feel the winner of this tie probably is the favourite to go on and take the title. I think that City have got over the mental block of that quarter final. You know, getting back to with Dortmund in a position where it wasn't always going to be their way. You've got to fancy them based on what we know, what we see. I worry for a 15-minute spell in one game by PSG. That's my worry. They can have a 15-minute spell and the outlook of the game. And that's the danger that City have to deal with. They're better. Diaz has made them better. There's a better focus. Love the scene that you talked about, Foden in the group all over it. Maybe starting to feel it a little bit. So can't wait, to be honest, mate. Can't wait on that one. Yeah. Great game to look forward to.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's move on to the other side of the draw. So Liverpool, they had to come from a 3-1 against Real Madrid. And I think we both said, you know, to give themselves a chance, Liverpool got to keep a clean sheet. I kept a close eye on this one. They did keep a clean sheet. It was a better Liverpool. One of my notes here, Rob, was there was some of the old Liverpool intensity back.
Yeah.
I'm afraid there was a bit of the new Liverpool finishing back. I've got to tell you, this is how I saw it, and we can talk. There's lots of different talking points and lots of areas in terms of how Liverpool did without the fans, you know. before the game, the bottle that was thrown at the coach, etc. The 32nd anniversary of Hillsborough. There was lots of things, lots of elements to the game that got mentioned. But in terms of the match and in terms of Liverpool's chance of progressing, I think there was less than 3 minutes on the clock when Sadio Mane slid a ball to Mo Salah and the big foot of Thibaut Courtois towed the ball away. And I wouldn't say a short Mo Salah, because Mo Salah's still scoring goal. If Salah takes that goal, Rob, different night. Different night for me. I just think 1-0 up with 80-odd minutes to go puts Madrid in a different position. Any one goal then from Liverpool means they could be out of competition. They didn't have the luxury of the two goals, the comfort of knowing, if they get one, we still, I felt, always put Madrid in a good stead. They defended well, Madrid. It was a lot more workmanlike, weren't particularly driving forward. It was a lot more discipline, which showed another side to their game that we don't always see. Let's remember, it's without Varane, without Sergio Ramos. But I just felt, honestly, it was one of those where, and I know there's plenty more time to go and there's plenty of the chances that came. I just thought, for the whole psychology of the game, 1-0 up with 3 minutes on the clock, Liverpool would have started thinking, here we go, it's one of those nights. Madrid might start thinking, here we go, it's one of those Liverpool comebacks. I just felt that was such a huge time in the game for Liverpool not to get the goal. I thought that had a weight in the end that was just too big for Liverpool to lift.
There's other chances, wasn't there, from Mo Salah, Rob? You talk about early chance, but they had that potential for a grandstand finish through this game, like up to probably 80 minutes. You think if the first goal goes in, they're going to
have another one. Gini Wijnaldum had a great one after some great work from Trent Alexander. Millie had a couple of shots. I mean, there was good chances, Rob. When they look back of it, intensity was good. There was a good press in midfield. They were winning the ball back higher in the off, but just that finishing, that bit sort of we're not sure about with Liverpool anymore, that we were in the past. That when you need Firmino to come up with one, when you need Sadio Mane, you've talked about Sadio Mane can't find a goal at the moment. And I heard somebody say Sadio Mane's, and this is a little bit tongue in cheek, but it's more like the Sadio Mane of Southampton than Sadio Mane of Liverpool. Great work rate, great guy, will always give you everything, but he just lost that special touch that made him a superstar when he was scoring goals.
It's really interesting, Rob, because I saw the Jurgen Klopp interview afterwards, and he's basically saying, we were great today. We didn't get the goal, which does tell a story a little bit of the season. But he said, we lost this tie in Madrid.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the defensive side, the mistakes that they've made. So over the two legs, you could say, well, this is Liverpool in a nutshell for this season. Mm. Defensive mistakes, vulnerable at centre-back, and the goal scoring hasn't been there. Now, I think we all know defensively when players come back to full fitness for Liverpool Football Club, that will get solved. The question, Rob, that we should just talk a little bit now about is the front players. And I think we've always said that the enablers are the fullbacks and Firmino for the wide scorers. And if those wide scorers aren't both scoring, there's no goals in midfield and Firmino isn't getting you many goals. Now, Salah, to be fair, is doing his thing. I know he missed some opportunities, but it's hard to kind of point at him as a reason why this front line is not working.
Correct.
So what going forward, Rob, are we assuming that Sadio Mane is going to find his scoring boots again? Are we thinking that, you know what, we need a number nine to score goals. Yeah, and we love Firmino. We love what he's done. Mm. But it's just kind of that front three has been together a long time now, Rob. They've done brilliant things. It needs a freshen up. I know the Jurgen Klopp is there. It may be time for a change.
You make a good point because I was thinking that. It may change. I'll tell you what else for me it needs. And we'll talk about Thiago. I think we wanted to talk about him because on a night when a big night against Real Madrid, you're thinking, why is he not in the starting 11? My sense is he hasn't got the legs and intensity to press the ball as the other three, as Milner does for 60 minutes, as Wijnaldum can do it, and Fabinho, which is a slight worry, Rob, if you've bought him and he's not going to play in that way.
Well, it depends, Rob. It depends on how they're playing. Like Thiago played for Bayern Munich. They were brilliant with him in the midfield. But given the makeup of this particular Liverpool side, I know what you mean. They need that energy and
they did for an hour. Their energy was good, and it was right that Thiago didn't play because, you know, Cruz and Modric, who wanted to get on the ball, didn't have as much freedom, and they'd obviously learned lessons from the first game. I tell you what else I'm starting to think about this team, Rob, is we've got to find a goal-scoring midfield player. I think it's taught me that over-reliance on those three, especially there.
Well, there's two, isn't it?
The two is something we can learn from. You know, Bruno Fernandes, was he 16 Premier League goals? You know, Gundogan or Kevin De Bruyne, or there's no one in Liverpool's team who you expect any more than 4 or 5 goals max. I think you've got to look to address that. I think you can find somebody who can be athletic enough to be part of the press that you want, but have the eye and the understanding and the ability to drive runs and sometimes run beyond the centre forward. If that centre forward wants to come deep, that guy who can go beyond and make things happen.
It's changing the makeup of the team, Rob.
Yeah,
it is. And that team.
But haven't the great managers done that in the past? Hasn't Sir Alex done that with United? Hasn't Arsene Wenger done that with Arsenal?
And the way that it might be that Thiago works in a different Liverpool with a number nine that he had at Bayern Munich and maybe a goal scoring guy alongside him or different wide player. I mean, he can change everything and different players' attributes will work in a different way. Thiago in this really strong pressing Liverpool side doesn't really work, but that doesn't mean that a different Liverpool team can be created by Jurgen Klopp with maybe two players different. Oh, hang on a minute. Now this and now him and now that and now, you know, it's just the way the team is constructed.
Is it 4-2-3-1 an option, Rob? Is 4-2-3-1? Could he look at that?
Well, okay, so you'd need to have a working player alongside Thiago for the two.
Yeah.
You're going to get your goal-scoring guy in the 10, right? So you have to find somebody who's a goal-scoring, and you want to get a goal-scoring number 9. Now, if Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, they've got to help defensively in that setup.
We've got Diogo Jota, remember? We've still got Diogo Jota, who's looked lively for us.
So that 4-2-3-1, it's not a three at forward where they can stay and do their damage. Yeah. They've got to come back. So the whole kind of... the whole construction of the team is different. Now, if Jurgen Klopp wants to do that, you know, in this summer, make a few changes, and it changes the side from heavy metal to something different.
Yeah.
With Thiago in slower pace and a number nine, a typical number. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I just, you know, to finalise it, Rob, do we both agree that Jurgen Klopp is going to think about, you know what, let's go again. Let's have Liverpool 2-0.
I think he should. I'm sure he is. I think he should, Rob. I think that's where we are. And I think a couple of tough decisions, maybe with people who've been great servants for you along the way, I think you've got to make some tough calls.
Yeah.
But, you know, refreshing it and they go again because, you know, out of the Champions League now, they've got a challenge on to be top four. That, you know, it's a very different season than we've had over the last couple of years where they've continued to win things. But it was a better Liverpool. They did have a go, but I totally agree. One bad night for them. In the first leg, I'm afraid, gave him too much to do and couldn't take the chances on the night. Let's talk about Chelsea because pretty much felt that they were in a great position 2-0 up from the first leg against Porto. Not the greatest game, in all honesty, Rob. I kept an eye on this, and Thomas Tuchel said the same. He said probably for the neutral and you at home, it wasn't great to watch, but they did what they did for pretty much the whole of the game, kept the clean sheet. I mean, it was a wonder finish. Mediterranean, I think it was 90 minutes on the clock with an overhead kick that's up there with the Ronaldo.
Amazing
free kick, but obviously with not injury time, not enough time on the ball. But I thought it was quite another disciplined performance. Thought Chilwell and James, who were the wing backs, stayed at home when they needed to, didn't fly forward and leave too many holes. It was a Porto team that not got a load of pace up front, so they weren't overstretched. Couple of people I wanted to just
they played well.
Tony Rudiger, by the way.
Yeah.
Puh, I'm telling you, Rob.
I know.
Beast. He's a bit of a beast turning into. Wants to head the ball, wants to put his body, wants to
proper
block.
Defender.
Yeah. Really thought that it was a day when we saw the best of him. And got Lokante back in the team helps on a night like this when you've got something to hold on to and he can get around the pitch. I think that's just a bonus. Christian Pulisic, Robbie Musto. was a lively threat that Porto decided they were never going to let him go. It was one of those systematical fouling things. He was the most fouled player on the night. Threats won the won the Man of the Match award on the night, which I thought was good for him and good for his confidence. Good to see him playing in the team. And I think, like we'd said, we slightly disagreed. I think after the weekend, you said you weren't sure if he'd play. And I said, I thought he might have done enough.
Yeah.
And he did do. And again, he looked lively. He looked lively, Rob.
I tell you what, Rob, I was so pleased that he started. And you're absolutely right. I just thought he'd go back to Timo Werner. But I got to love this about the manager, Rob. Mm. You know, and by the way, Christian Pulisic, who has had to bide his time, has had to take a little bit of stick, you know, sitting on the bench and super sub and all that kind of stuff. He has impressed his manager through what he's done on the field of play. He's got his goals and he got a start in a massive game. Yeah. And now, you know, now it looks like Havertz and Mount and Pulisic are the front three. And by the way, we know how many players there are that want, Ziyech wants a bit of that. Hudson-Odoi wants a bit of that. I mean, there's a lot of Werner and Tammy. There's a lot of people that want a bit of that. So to find his way into that front three is well done. Well done. And another, you know, a great result for Chelsea. Yeah. And that kind of structure about this team is what's helping them. And it's absolutely what's helping them going through and what's going to be a fascinating game going forward into the semi-final. But I just thought that was really interesting. Like, wow, you know, Tuchel. In set, Rob, you know, whoever's four, and that can be just two games before a massive game. Yeah. Like, he hasn't stuck with his reliable, like, you know what, I'm not going to change it too much. He's going to change his team based on how people are playing, like, the previous week. So, well done, the manager. Well done, Christian Pulisic, for force his way into the side. And well done, Chelsea Football Club. And this is crazy. Semi-final of the
semi-final. You know,
God, things have changed, mate. It's amazing. Changes. I know.
Against Real Madrid. And they're the kind of team, Rob, who can defend well. We've seen that with the clean sheets and that. They can make it. This is a difficult game for Real Madrid.
Yes.
I know people feel the other side of the draw is where probably the winner will come from. But both these teams have got probably more defence or as good a defensive discipline as anybody else. And Madrid have shown both sides. Madrid can have a night. Madrid can have a night, as Liverpool know. That can be dangerous. And Chelsea, with all that potential up front, the threat, Tuchel understands, you know, he's got a good eye around Champions League football, taking PSG close already. So I'm really looking forward to this one as well. I think it's a fascinating game. And our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook have given us their Champions League odds for the four teams in the semi-finals. You will probably not be surprised that Man City still remain as favourites at +125. Second favourites become Paris Saint-Germain at +300. Real Madrid, third favourites at +350. And Chelsea is probably where the better money is at +400. So +400 for Chelsea to get past Madrid and then get past either City or PSG in the final.
I think City is a bit short. Those odds are a bit short. Mm. I wouldn't be backing that at +125. You know, Real Madrid at +350.
+350.
I mean, tremendous recent history in this competition with this manager, with a lot of these players. You know, you can't underestimate what that must mean and the experience and the know-how and everything else to help them. I got to say, I mean, I think both games are amazing, like potential. Yeah. Chelsea against Real Madrid, you know, I'm with you. I think it could give Real Madrid a real problem. Now, if those front players of Chelsea have a day or 2 days and then combine, use their pace, use their attributes to their maximum, they can beat Real Madrid over two legs. And N'Golo Kante be in midfield. Defensively, you know, they've been pretty grooved now for a long period of time. That's a fascinating game. Yeah. And then just back onto those odds. Yeah, I mean, we love it.
I quite like a bit of Chelsea at 400. I quite like a bit of Chelsea at 400. I know the experience. You know, been there, got the T-shirt, done it. But Tuchel's smart. This is a young group. He's got plenty of options, like you say.
On Chelsea, Rob, let's just think about that for a minute. Havertz, Mount, Pulisic, are they ready? Are they ready for this stage?
Are you ever ready? If Chippo Motti can be scoring goals in the Champions League.
But are they ready to win a semi-final against Real Madrid and win a Champions? I mean, it'd be incredible.
Well, the Chelsea team that won it, they won it, I would have said, you know, under Di Matteo, wasn't it? Were they ready?
I was in the stadium. Yeah, it was amazing. Ryan Bertrand.
You're ready. If you're ready, you're ready. If you're there, maybe this is the coming of age. Maybe this is the time. You know, yes, they had the Didier Drogba. Kai Havertz is coming. He's showing us a little something else. But listen, fascinating games. Interesting odds. City, obviously, the favourites. But there's plenty of football in those two semi-finals before we can even think. You know, we'll report back after the first legs and obviously see how things stand. Yeah. But yeah, a couple of great finals to look forward to. Let's go on to Europa, mate. Just finish off in the Europa League. So Arsenal, I think, had it all on, really. 1-1 with Slavia Prague at home. Had to go to Slavia Prague, who were decent at home. I read somewhere, I think it's 30 games at home with unbeaten. So I think many thought this might be a tricky trip for Arsenal. Absolutely got the job done, mate. I was watching this one. You couldn't have got a better 20, 25 minutes than what I saw. It's the best 25 minutes I've seen Arsenal play.
Wow.
My friend and your friend, Emil Smith Rowe, was outstanding.
Was he?
Absolutely outstanding. Found space, made things happen. His control on the ball, his composure in tight spots. He had a goal disallowed, didn't matter. They came back and got themselves a goal through Pepe, who looked sharp again on that side. Yeah. Saka on the side, Lacazette up front. It's a front four that caused all kinds of problems against Slavia Prague, who Leicester City couldn't score against, some decent opposition. But it reminded me, and I just wanted to go back because we have debated the point of the younger players and the experience and the time, and I've kept on saying, you know, if I can have Saka, Smith Rowe, Pepe, in fairness, is took a step up. Lacazette has enjoyed, looked like he's enjoyed the responsibility he was captain. There was no Aubameyang. It came out news that he's picked up malaria when he was on an international trip with Gabon, so they're going to miss him for a while. And a couple of things that came to mind. One was, you used to think, oh, no Aubameyang, cool, can't see where the goals are going to come from. That's different. Second thing I wanted to say, Rob, is the very best eras of Arsenal that I remember, and I wanted to make a note, was sort of that 90s period where there was the Rocky Rocastle, God rest his soul, the Mickey Thomases, the Paul Davises, the Tony Adams, Ray Parlour, Paul Merson. We played against those teams who were mixed with good pros and they were a difficult team to beat. The latter years where we've gone through the Wenger years, and I know some of these are not all homegrown, but it was a young Vieira, Anelka, Petit, Van Persie, Fabregas, Ashley Cole, with good players around. I get the sense that, or I would like to see this young group been given time to develop, to expand, to grow, to mature, to make some mistakes and learn. Yeah. Because what I see is an energy and a drive that you don't always see with bigger, better international players. These players look like they really want to prove a point. And when you've got that energy and that drive, it's in there for a great starting point.
It's so funny, Rob, trying to talk in Arsenal because, you know, of course, we look at them every single week and there's good weeks, there's a lot of bad weeks. You see where they are on the league table and you're like, wow, you know, Arteta, like, should he be under more pressure given where they are? I tend to think that it is a patient job and I'm interested in, you know, Emil Smith-Rowe, I think, is a really interesting one because there's sometimes I watch him and I think, wow, he's a talented player. I remember there's one game a few weeks ago, Rob, I watched him and he did nothing. I'm like, so maybe you're right. There's going to be times when they can't find a way. And there's other times when they look $1 million. I saw Bukayo Saka scored a good goal as well in this game. And like, there's no question he is the future and he's a brilliant player for them. Lacazette, you know, he's on a decent run of scoring goals. They're a funny sort. We know they need a lot of work. But I guess, you know, you're saying then after how you watched them today is that there is a foundation of young talent there that's, you know, will be really important when this team does bring in some new players, and those signings are absolutely critical to try and get the club back towards the top four area. It's just whether
those new players have got to be part of it, Rob. They've got to be part of your forward plan with those players in mind, not necessarily replacing those players. Saka's time now. It's time, Rob. I know he's young and I know he's going to be a bit inconsistent. It's his time. I think Smith Rowe, give him his head. Let's see if it's his time. You know, let's find out.
Who have they got in the semi-final, my friend?
They have Villarreal.
Oh,
and
no.
And you know who manages them? Our good friend, Unai Emery. Good evening.
Oh, amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Wow, amazing. So, fascinating matchup, Robert. I mean, you got to think Arsenal will go through, but who knows in that game? Fascinating match in the semi-final. Yeah.
That's a game for Arsenal, by the way. You think of where they are in the table and looking. I mean, that's Champions League football right there.
Yeah, but work to do. You know, if they get past Villarreal, they're probably going to face Manchester United, Rob. And that was the game that I looked at today. I mean, I got to be honest, I was a bit bored after the first. It was kind of easy for United. I mean, Cavani, I did a breakdown from the weekend and how his movement and stuff. He scores another goal today, left foot volley, brings out the air. I think he might come off the bottom of his shin or whatever, but shins it into the corner. It was kind of a scrappy game. United made some changes, but never
strong,
in doubt.
Strong enough lineup though, wasn't it? Pogba, Cavani. Bruno.
Twanzebe
played the back, didn't he?
Telles and Twanzebe are the ones that you wouldn't, not really first 11. I mean, Harry Maguire's not had a, I mean, he seems to play every single game, so he had a rest in the game. Subs were made later on. Van der Beek came on, Cavani came off, Pogba came off, Rob, with a, it looked like a knock. Again, I don't know. He banged his knees with a player in the middle of the park, but it was so comfortable, Rob. And I just want to, you know, they're through absolutely piece of cake easy. I just like, and this is just me being a miserable old, you know, so-and-so, the Europa League, like we've watched quarterfinals there that are so simple for the bigger clubs. I mean, I looked at United, I know they got knocked out of the Champions League, and it's PSG and RB Leipzig that knocked them out. Big disappointment for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but then they drop into the Europa League and it almost, I don't want to say it ruins it, and I know what the prize is, but that's it. I mean, the Champions League qualification is huge, but I kind of feel for some of the other clubs, really, that the competition is, oh, wow, like, okay, now we've got all these Champions League rejects coming in. I don't know.
Yeah, but
doesn't
that lift the competition? Yeah, but I'm saying poorer European teams playing each other to get to a Champions League final. I like that Manchester. United take it serious. Because
they get a second chance.
Yeah, because the competition's better. There's more money in the competition. That's why we got a Champions League spot at the end of it, which we didn't have before.
The Europa League should be for the ones that are below the top tier of European clubs. We all know mostly who they are. And it should be their competition. The fact that two jump down, they're like...
There's many teams who've gone in the Europa who've then won it and got given themselves a Champions League spot. It means that those teams that drop down have to take it serious. And Man United can't stroll around, that they have to take it serious. And if they don't take it serious, they get beat. They go out, like Tottenham. They go out. There's no guarantee when you drop in there.
I don't like it at all. Quarterfinals, Rob. What was yours? 5-0, 4-0? Mine was 4-0. Was yours 5-0? Quarterfinal. It's not entertaining.
Man United and Arsenal in the Europa League final. Man City and Chelsea in the Champions League final.
Yeah, the ones who have done it. The ones who have done it over a long period of time. I'm not sure I'm a fan of it. Europa League. Like, I mean, they're going to redo all the formats and a conference and a different Champions League. Sort it out. Like, don't have this dropping down from one competition to another competition. Like, some of them are bothered, some of them aren't bothered. They're all bothered now, Rob, because it's a Champions League qualification. That spot wasn't always there. And I just feel for this. Like, it's great, the Sevillas and stuff and you know.
Yeah,
Granada got no chance. What sort of competition is that? 4-0. You know, I'm watching a game TV, and I'm like, money. I'm bored. It's a boring game. Like, it's so easy. It's not even a competitive
On that game happy note, on no. that happy note, on that happy note, it's been a pretty good week for the English team. All made it through to the semi-finals. Apart from Liverpool, who had a good go, but one bad night, Madrid meant. I'm afraid they weren't progressing. We'll be back on Monday, April the 19th. Musty, I guarantee you'll be in a better mood. We'll review a week-long of games on Match Week 32 and the two FA Cup semi-finals being played this week. We'll see if Manchester City's unique quadruple is still alive ahead of their League Cup final next week against Spurs. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Miserable Musto. Together with the two Robbie, thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.